Proverbs 21. And I want to look at one verse that stood out to me as I was reading this. I had a different message in mind, but some of you are following along with the Bible reading schedule that we put in the bulletins, and I was following along with that today and came across this verse, and it stood out to me, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach it to you. And so I hope it will be a blessing and a challenge and a help to you. It's Proverbs 21 and verse number 2. All right, verse 2 of Proverbs chapter 21. The Bible says there, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Let's think through that again. Let's read it one more time. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That verse teaches us that it's something that is normal for us to think that we are right. In fact, I believe that maybe this is an overstatement, but I think most of the time, the reason that we do what we do is because we think it's right. And even when someone knows that they're wrong, there's a reason they're going to do something that's wrong, and it's because they think there's a right reason to do what's wrong. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. There's some motivation that they have that causes them to think, this is what I ought to do, or I cannot do what is right, or whatever. There's something to that effect, that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And we as Christians fall under that same category, don't we? That we do what we do because we think it's right to do. There's some reason that we have, but far from being an excuse for us to do whatever we want, the Bible takes away that excuse from us when it finishes the verse and says, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Because the truth of the matter is, and we'll get into this a little bit later on in the message, it doesn't matter what I think about what I do. It only matters what God thinks. And not only does it only matter what God thinks, God sees more than just my actions. He sees my heart, or the motivation, or the reason behind the action that I do, and he's the one who ponders that. Let's pray, and I want to get into this message that I've entitled, The One Who Ponders. The One Who Ponders. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the message. Lord, thank you for giving us the wonderful opportunity to have your word in our hands. Thank you for allowing us to have it in our language and be able to understand it and trust it. Thank you that we can know your mind and your heart rather than our own. And I thank you for that, because we can read in your word what you have shared with us about yourself. Now, Lord, would you help us tonight as we learn about the fact that you ponder our hearts? Lord, I pray that you would help that truth to stick in our mind and our heart, but also, Lord, that the application of it would be provided by your Holy Spirit. Guide me and guide my words, and please give each one here ears to hear, that, Lord, they and all of us could be strengthened and helped and challenged and edified, and you would be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The One Who Ponders. Of course, our verse says that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Or I should say, that's another verse. So our verse says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. There's another verse, very similar, and it's from Proverbs 16, and it's also verse 2. And that one says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now, in our verse, the word ponder is used when it says that God ponders the hearts. And I looked up the word ponder, and it's an interesting word. One of the words that comes from the word ponder is the word pound, as in the measurement of weight. And another synonym for to ponder is to weigh something. So it makes sense that we would get the word pound from ponder, okay? So it literally means to weigh something, which again matches up with Proverbs 16:2, the other verse that says the Lord weigheth the spirits. So when it says that he ponders the hearts, the idea behind it is that he takes everything into consideration and he weighs that. He puts it on the balance, on the scale, and that is the truth of the matter. He is the one who does that. Now, let's look at some verses that will hopefully help us to have a little bit of
of a reverence for God and his ability to weigh the spirits and try the hearts and ponder the hearts, all right? So hopefully this will give us just a little bit of awe for who he is, okay? So keep your place. Well, I guess you can probably turn from Proverbs 21. I don't know that we'll be back to that specific scripture, but look at Job 28. I just looked up a few verses that use the same Hebrew word behind ponder, and just looked it up. When else is that Hebrew word used in our King James Bible? And it's very interesting to see some things. And again, I bring up some of these verses because I think it'll help you and me have a reverence for God and his ability to weigh or ponder our hearts. Job 28, and let's start with verse 23, all right? Job 28, verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When it says that God weigheth the waters by measure, that word weigheth is the same Hebrew word behind the word ponder that is in Proverbs 21. Now think about this. Job here in Job 28, as Job is answering some of his friends who have been rebuking him, Job is giving praise to God a little bit for his ability to create all things. And listen, he says he weighs the waters with his hand, or with a measure. So the idea behind it is that, listen, what is incredible and awesome to you and me is nothing to God. God measures it out. The idea that I get behind that is it's almost like God is, you know, making a recipe and measuring out the seas. It's like a measuring cup for him, whatever. He's not intimidated by it. Whereas if you've ever had the privilege to be at the shore of an ocean, you understand how intimidating that is. That great amount of water is just unbelievable. Well, that's nothing to God. He weighs that. Is it something that should be incredible to you and me that he weighs our hearts? If he can weigh the waters, can he ponder our hearts? Look with me at Psalm 75. Again, we're just looking at some scriptures that will help us to see a little bit of the incredible nature of our God's ability to ponder or weigh things. Psalm 75, and we're going to look at we'll start with verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Verse 2, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. Now this is God speaking. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Selah. And that word bear up is the same word, the Hebrew word, behind ponder or to weigh. God bears them up. It is God's hand that holds them up. He's the one weighing them. All of their weight and their pressure is in his hands. He is the one who bears up the pillars of the earth. They're on him. That's our God, the same one who ponders your heart and my heart. Let's look at another passage of scripture, Isaiah 40. Not long ago, we had an evangelist with us who spoke from Isaiah 40. I hope you remember that. That was a blessing when Brother McDonald preached to us about that. Isaiah 40 did a great job, I felt like, with this passage of scripture, Isaiah 40 and verse number 12. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. We'll look at verses 12 and 13, where it says, who hath measured, there's the word, same word as ponder, the waters in the hollow of his hand. Think about that. That's just amazing. And meted out, by the way, that's the same Hebrew word, meted out, which, by the way, means to measure out, okay? Who hath meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? By the way, here's something interesting about that. The word directed in verse 13, as in, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? That word directed is the same Hebrew word as the one behind pondered and weighed and all of that. So you see, God is the one who measures all things out. He meets them out. He ponders our hearts. He does all this with the waters and holds up the earth. But is there anybody who's done the reverse to him? And the obvious answer is no. He is far beyond us. By the way, that's a good explanation for why God is called holy, holy, holy. He is far beyond us. He is outside of us. He is not dependent on you and me and our opinion and what we might do for him, because all things are of him and by him and through him. He is the one who does all things. By him all things consist, the Bible says. He is holy above us all. An amazing thing. That's the God. Look at Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. Here's another passage of scripture that applies to our text verse, which is every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That great God that meets out the heavens and the waters and holds up the earth and all of that, he's the one who ponders the hearts. Now, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, right? It's deceitful above all things. We can't know it. God can. Because, again, he's the one who meets the waters and all of that. And then look with me, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel 2, so go backwards this time. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to just look at verse number 3 in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And this is the prayer of Hannah after she was given the child Samuel. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, here's what she says in her prayer. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. You can guess which word is the same word as ponder. It's the word weighed at the very end. So what does that mean for you and me? Don't talk proudly. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do, because God is the one who weighs all of our actions. The same God that holds the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. The same God who holds up the pillars of the earth with his hands. The same God who meets out all of these different areas of creation that are amazing to us. That God is the one who weighs our actions. Now, with all that said, let me give you just a couple of points in the message here tonight. First of all, we often think that we are doing the right thing because here's what we do. Listen, we think it through and it makes sense to us. We often think we're doing the right thing because we think it through and it makes sense to us. Now, it's not wrong to think things through and try to do what you believe is right. There's nothing wrong with that. God does want you to use your brain, okay? I know it's a shock, but he does. But we also ought to keep in mind every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. So it's not enough to think it through and do what is best in our eyes. It's not enough. God needs to be taken into account. The second point of the message is this. However, God alone understands the heart. And it's only God who understands the heart. That was our verse that we read from Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, right? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then God says in verse number 10, I know it. So he's the only one. Number three, the point is this. Because of this, God is the judge. Because of this, God is the judge. And I want to encourage you to remember in all things that someday we all will stand before God and he will judge us according to our works. Yes, we as Christians will be judged according to our works. Don't lose sight of the fact that, yes, the lost are judged, but they're judged differently than you and I are. We are born again. We are in Christ. We have been given salvation. Amen? Hell will never be something that we have to worry about by God's grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful of that. But listen, that doesn't mean we won't be judged by our works. God's going to take all things into account, and it won't be a judgment of, you know, being cast aside or anything like that. But there will be a giving of or a loss of reward based on what we do. And here's the thing. God judges the heart. So I want to encourage you, don't just do what's up here and what rationale brings about and what you think is best. Don't let that be your only motivation for doing what you do. With that in mind, that brings me to the final point, and it's the longer point in the message. How should you and I make our decisions? Whatever decisions we're talking about. If we can't just use rationale, because God judges the hearts, and he's going to bring us into account for that, then how should we make decisions? Well, boy, I wish I had more to give you as far as I prayed about this and thought over it and went through it, and I believe I've got exactly what God wanted me to give you. But I, at the time of preparing the message, thought to myself, I'm sure there's so much more that needs to be said. But here are the things that I want to share with you of how you should make your decisions. Number one, this should be an obvious one. Make your decisions with humility. Make your decisions with humility. Do you remember James chapter 4 and verse number 6? That God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember that when you're making decisions. It's not okay to just go on and go forward because, man, this makes so much sense to me, and I'm sure this is what I had to do because it just makes sense. Make your decisions humbly and recognize that God is the one who judges the heart, okay? Here's the reason I say make the decision with humility. You and I need to recognize the sinfulness of our flesh. We need to recognize the sinfulness of our flesh. And let me put it to you this way. Your desires aren't always good. Your desires aren't always good. Even the ones that don't look bad. Even the ones that don't look bad. Sometimes there are things that we go, oh yeah, well I know that I have sinful desires in my flesh. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to talk about sometimes some of the things that I struggle with in the flesh, and I keep down my flesh so that I'm not, you know, following those sinful desires, and I flee from them like Paul told Timothy and all of that. Listen, we're not talking about those things. Those things definitely we need to flee from. But that's kind of a shallow understanding of the sinfulness of flesh. Recognize that your flesh is sinful, so sometimes your desires even can be wrong, though they look right. Isn't that what our verses basically say? When it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. It's saying, listen, we can have something that we're sure is right, but it's possible that God would see things differently. So recognize the sinfulness of the flesh and that your desires aren't always good. Be careful with just having the idea, well, this is what I want, and it's not a bad thing, so therefore it must be good. Huh? Maybe. Let me give you another one, still under humility. Recognize the deceitfulness of your heart. Recognize the deceitfulness of your heart. Again, we've already quoted it twice, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let me ask you a rhetorical question. Don't answer out loud, maybe in your own mind. What does the word deceitful mean? Well, obviously it means that I think one thing, but I'm wrong. I am being deceived. And God, not Pastor Weiss, God said that our heart, the heart, is deceitful, and he doesn't stop there. What are the next three words? The heart is deceitful above all things. There is nothing more deceitful than your heart. And you and I need to recognize that. Recognize that it's not enough to just go, well, this is, I mean, it just feels right. Well, okay, careful. Your heart can deceive you. And you and I need to recognize that. Our motivations are not always pure, though we think they are. Because again, remember our text verse? The Lord pondereth the hearts. He weighs them. He knows the truth. Ouch. I don't know about you, but that convicts this guy right up here. Because there's a lot of things in my life I'm like, man, I'm sure about this. I'm sure. It makes so much sense and it feels right in my heart. And I've walked with the Lord and I've read the Bible and I kind of know how things work in the Christian life. And this must be right. Okay, maybe. But don't let that be your only motivation. Have a little humility. In other words, recognize that you could be deceived. Have you ever been in a truly dark place and been trying to feel your way through, and then all of a sudden somebody turned a light on and you realize you were nowhere near you the place you thought you were? You ever been like that? I would never advise you doing this, but have you ever tried to drive in a really, truly dark situation? Maybe, let's put it this way, since we're in Wisconsin and it's August and we need to start getting ready for the snow because it's coming soon. I was just talking about how great the weather is here, but snow's coming, by the way. You ever been in a whiteout condition? And you ever realized all of a sudden, you didn't even realize it, but boy, you heard the rumble strips and you realized, I thought I was going straight, but I was veering off. I was deceived into thinking that I was going straight. But listen, you and I can be deceived. Pilots would tell us. You remember when Brother Jeff Davis was a part of our church and he was a pilot, and he used to tell us, listen, if you get into fog or you get into clouds, you can be upside down and not even know it. That's how crazy your senses will play with you. That's why, as he used to always, I don't know if you remember him saying this, those of you who remember Brother Davis, he'd say, that's why you're instrument trained before you can fly a commercial airline. So you trust the instruments, not your feelings. Okay, you and I need to have some, you and I need to have some humility, don't we? And recognize, I'm not going to just trust that it feels right, it's logical. I need to have humility. Let me give you another point under how should we make decisions. Letter B, we need to reject human logic alone. Don't reject human logic, but reject that as a basis alone for making decisions. Can we think of a verse that might go along with that? How about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But it says, trust in the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding. So you and I need to not lean unto our own understanding. Don't use logic alone. It's not wrong to use it, but don't lean unto it. There are times where God just wants you to, okay, you got to make the best decision based on what you can think through. But don't let that be your primary and only source of making decisions, okay? And then letter C, how should you make your decisions? You should do so rejecting your heart's desire. Rejecting your heart's desire. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. I'm not telling you that you can never do what your heart's desire is. Because remember, the Bible says that if we put the Lord first, if we seek to do his thing, if we give him our actions, then he will direct our hearts, or he will give us the desire of our hearts. It's in the book of Psalms in verse 37. Okay, so there is a time where our desires are right. God can give us those. But I want to encourage you, as you make decisions, while you're making the decision, reject your own desire. Reject your heart's desire. Set that aside. It's like this. When a young man and a young lady are considering marriage, those of you who have been married more than 5 years, and many of you who have been married less than that, wouldn't you agree with me that romance and all of the gushiness and all of the googly eyes ought to be set aside when it comes time to make that decision? Is this a good marriage partner? Set all of, listen, are googly eyes fun when you're married? Hey, I love it in marriage, okay? And I love the romance and I love the snuggling and all those fun things that married couples get to do. Listen, that's wonderful and it's a gift from God, the romantic part and the wonderful closeness and togetherness that God puts. But that ought to all be set aside when it comes time to make a decision, is this a good mate? Just like that, in decisions, set your heart's desire aside for a time to make the decision, because that's a poor judge of what to do. Is it a blessing? When they align, it's awesome. but it's a poor judge. Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Notice this last phrase. And guide thine heart in the way. Guide thine heart in the way. Here's what you and I need to do. We need to take our heart by the hand and say, I am going to guide you where you need to go. And of course, we know you've heard it preached ad nauseum. The world teaches us the opposite, right? Let your heart be your guide. That's the opposite. God says you need to guide your heart in the way, which means that when you're making decisions, take your heart's desire and set it aside and say, I'm not going to let that be the determining factor or even really a factor. I am going to guide that. And the truth of the matter is, and again, if you've lived any kind of Christian life at all for any length of time, you know this is true. If you will do what God wants you to do and you will guide your heart along the way, it's amazing how God will take your heart and wrap it up in His will and make you happy in that will. God is able and God will do that. So make your decisions with humility, reject human logic alone, reject your heart's desire, and then look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Here's another important reminder when we are making decisions. Proverbs 11 and verse number 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. So let me encourage you to make your decisions with integrity. If you remember what the word integrity means, it means a wholeness, a oneness. It means that what I am in the closet is what I am in public. So make your decisions with integrity. Be a person of integrity. And that integrity will guide you. The things that you know are right, the things that you talk to others about, the way that you give advice to others when you're giving it according to the Bible, okay, is the way you ought to live your life. And make sure that in all decisions that you make, you're not compromising in anything. In other words, if you know and you've been convinced from the scriptures that it's right to do X, and then you're at a point where you have to make a decision, and if you choose this direction, you have to break that rule that you know and have taught and told others and all of that, then listen, what you know automatically is that's not the way God wants you to go. Your integrity will guide you if you allow it to guide you. In other words, friends, what that's going to lead you to, and we'll get to this a little bit later, is you got to be a student of the book. You've got to know what the book says. You've got to be a person who's in the Word. And again, you don't have to know the Greek and the Hebrew, all that, whatever. You don't have to understand exactly how all the prophetic things are going to work out. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about you ought to know the book enough to know you know what God loves and what God hates. And then when you make your decisions, you can make them based on I know what God loves and I know what God hates based on His Word. And I'm going to make my decisions based on what God loves. Letter E, make your decisions prayerfully. Make your decisions prayerfully. This is a given, isn't it? This is one that I think probably all of you would have written down immediately if I asked you to just write down what you think Pastor is going to say. Prayerfully, make them prayerfully. Pray and seek God's face. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you from Ezra chapter number 8, where Ezra said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him." Notice that Ezra proclaimed a fast that they might afflict themselves and seek of God a right way. In other words, they were praying and fasting. Boy, imagine that. Before they made a decision on which way to go and how to get from point A to point B, they spent time in prayer and fasting. We got to make our decisions prayerfully. May I remind you what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 6, "And it came to pass in those days that he," Jesus, "went out into a mountain to to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So the night before Jesus chose his 12 apostles, he spent the night in prayer. Now, if Jesus had to spend the night in prayer before he could choose the 12 apostles, how much more do you and I need to be in prayer before we make decisions? We need to be in prayer. We need to seek God's face. I don't want to give you this idea as if God's going to always give you some, you know, telegram from the sky, some just bolt of lightning that's going to hit you. But I can tell you this, there have been more than one occasion where I was in a need of a wisdom from God and began to pray, and several times at this very altar, I can remember one time specifically that I won't share with you, very, very personal situation that I was in, praying at this altar, and as I was in prayer, the thought came to my mind of exactly what to do. I did it, and it was so obvious that was God who gave me that information. And again, nothing, you know, spooky, no goosebumps, I promise you. It was just an idea that came to my mind with a great peace, and I said, I think that's from God. I acted on it, and it was so obviously from God, it's not even funny. It's just amazing. He doesn't always do it that way, but friends, we need to seek prayerfully. God, what do you want me to do? Show me. What do you want me to do? Read his word and pray and spend time in quiet with him. Many times, if we will take our cell phone and set it in the other room, if you've got little kids, if you'd ask your spouse to just say, you know what, sweetheart, I need to spend some time with the Lord. Can you give me a half an hour or an hour? Can you watch the kids? I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to go drive in the car, and I'm just going to sit in a parking lot, not taking my cell phone. I'm not going to listen to the radio. I'm just going to take my Bible, and me and God are going to talk a little bit. God, I need some wisdom. If you get it alone privately, it's amazing how God will give you wisdom and peace and guidance if you'll set the things of the world aside and say, God, what do you want? He's longing to speak to you. So make your decisions prayerfully. And then the last one's pretty obvious. Letter F, last one I'll give to you, and that is make your decisions seeking wisdom. Seeking wisdom. You know the verse, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, right? James 1:5. But I want to encourage you, seek wisdom in making decisions. Now, the first part of seeking wisdom, I try to include in there all the time. Seek wisdom from others. Seek wisdom from others. God put you in a church for a reason. You are not a lone ranger. I know we'd all like to be, right? We'd all like to be the superhero who doesn't need other Christians, who can just make decisions on their own, and bless God, I hear from God, and I don't need anyone else telling me what to do. Okay. More power to you. But I tell you what, I'm not that smart, and I'm not that spiritual. There are times I need help. So I don't let other people tell me what to do or run my spiritual life because only God can do that. But I try to humble myself, and I would encourage you to do the same. Humble yourself and say, brother, here's some things that I'm battling with. What do you think? Have you ever faced anything like that before? How has God worked in your life? Do you know any Bible principles that might apply here? Feel some people out. Again, God put you in a church for a reason. There's a reason why. Seek some other people out and get some wisdom from them. Now, let that always be secondary to the next part, which is hopefully the most obvious. Seek wisdom where you know you'll find it, and that is in God's word. This ought to be the biggest thing. Now, God will use other people, because here's the thing. Again, have the humility to recognize, sometimes I come to the Bible with a certain set of lenses in my glasses. Anybody else like me in that? Don't raise your hand, all right? I'll be the one to admit it. Sometimes I come to the Word of God with a certain set of lenses. I see what I want to see. And I would suggest that you do the same. So that's where sometimes it's nice for me to run it by someone else and say, am I seeing something wrong here? What do you think? And I can tell you that even in the past couple of years, I've had some things where I was sure God was leading in a certain way, and I went to somebody else, and they said, you might want to rethink that. It just doesn't sound right or think right. And I didn't take their word for it, but I prayed about it some more. And you know what? I think they were right. I think I was wrong at that time. And God's kind of revealed some things to me that I didn't realize. So I've got to seek the book, but along with that, then seek others, all right? But let's look at what the book says in Psalm 73. Here's why I ought to seek it in the book, Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant, says the psalmist. I was as a beast before thee. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Now, if we were to look at Psalm 119, you know what we would find out? The psalmist there said that the word of God was his counselor. So when it says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, you know what mainly it's talking about? Sure, he'll use people, but he'll use the book. He'll use the Bible, God's word. Let this be your counsel. Get in and know the Bible. Know it. Again, most of the time, you're not going to find something that's like, be careful using the Bible as a spiritual Ouija board, okay? Be careful. Okay, God, do you want me to go to, you know, Culver's or McDonald's today? All right, I see the word blue, and so, yeah, Culver's has blue. I'm going to Culver's. Listen, I've seen Christians do that. Be careful. I'm not saying God won't guide you with a verse. He will oftentimes. But be careful that you're not using it as an eeny, meeny, miny, moe right here. But get in the Word and learn what God loves. Learn what He hates. Learn biblical principles. Allow God to guide you through parables, through examples, through all of that wisdom that He has in His Word. And it's amazing how God will guide you with His counsel if you'll let Him. So I want to encourage you tonight to remember in all things that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord is the one who ponders the hearts. So remember to make your decisions carefully and with God's direction. And when you get to heaven, you'll be glad that you did, and so will I. Let's pray, and then I'll let you be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that you've given us tonight. I do thank you for that verse in Proverbs, Lord. I know it's one of those verses, Lord, that you put in there, and sometimes we read over it. I've read it over so many times and not thought anything of it. Lord, thank you that tonight you reminded us of the fact that you are the one who ponders all things. You weigh them. You meet them out. You hold them up by your hand. You understand the things that are incomprehensible to us, including our hearts. And so now, Lord, I pray that you would help these, your people, help me included, to make our decisions on what we're going to do and how we're going to act and how our lives are going to be lived out with a remembrance that you understand our hearts and we need to be careful to let you guide us. Lord, would you please help us? Help us not to just do what seems right, but to do what is right based on your word and your guidance. Please bless your people tonight. Keep them safe as they go home. Lord, I pray that above all, you'd keep them safe spiritually. Keep them from false doctrine this week. Keep them from hatred and variance and strife. Keep them from the sins of the flesh. Keep them, Lord, from a worldliness and an apathy. I pray that, Lord, your hand would be on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.